Alright. Are you going to burn out?
Nope.
That's a good question. Why? So what are you doing intentionally to not burn out? What's your plan? What do you have?
You have to continually sharpen and clean, and it's a continual daily battle that you are focused in. And it's thing, I think about it, if you put, you know, steel in salt water, if you leave it there for too long, you come back and it's all rusted and decaying, has pits and holes in it. And it's, I think, the same thing with our life, that we have to do the same thing. We've got to continually fight that. The world is against us. And so we have to stand with what we know, with the word, that we have a finite, here's the line that Yahweh calls us to be. And as we intersect back and forth, we've got to focus in on that and clear all the other garbage out.
Mm-hmm. It's intentional.
Burnout too, a fire needs to be fed constantly so it doesn't burn out. So the fire that you have in your heart for Yahweh has to be constantly fed by the word and by perfect prayer and by giving and all the rules that God has set up for us. If you slow down on that, your fire lowers.
Yeah. I guess to be specific about what the teaching is going to be on, is all, you know, even when I was growing up, I was afraid to hear from Yahweh. Do you know why? Because I had an innate knowing he was going to ask me to do something I didn't want to do. I was afraid to fall. Not really. I really was. And I was afraid. Was that right?
No.
Yeah. He's going to make you do something that provides faith. But what was I focused on?
Me.
On losing something. If you are asked to do more than what you're doing right now, if we don't have a good plan, you're going to burn out. It's going to be, I'm not doing this anymore. I can't keep doing what I'm doing. I'm getting lonelier and lonelier and lonelier, or I'm losing more and more friends. I'm all by myself or any one of these things, but it's like declining. But you have to, every one of us should be saying, what is my goal? What is going to keep you in balance? Does Yahweh want you to be doing more than you are doing right now? Yeah, absolutely. Jesus Christ is a 10. The Apostle Paul probably got to maybe an 8. Moses, 8, 9. I'm about a 3. Does he want more out of this relationship? Absolutely. Okay, and so the idea is, if he asked me to do more, how am I going to not burn out? Not just quit. You ever done that? You've been so obedient the whole day, doing good things, good things, good things, and 3 or 4 bad things happen. You go, that's it. I'm going back to being me. I'm going to go play video games and whatever. And it's a rhetorical question, but it's for all of us to say, what am I specifically doing? Because you can't run a marathon. You can't run a half marathon. You can't do 3 days football. We did 3 days. If you weren't focused on something, you're not going to make it. A woman, by focusing on holding the baby the first time, actually your second child, Ryan, probably was easier than Holly. Because you knew what you were going to experience when you held that infant. You knew that bonding, you're getting ready to go through it, it's going to be worth it. You're able to focus on something. And all of us, I think we're setting ourselves up for failure. You're going to burn out. No, I'm not going to burn out. But then why are you not going to? If you don't have a plan, not to pick on us, and we should be wanting to go, what's your plan? Why don't I have a plan? Then you're going to burn out. I mean, it's just the odds. I hope that's not the case, though. But we're going to start off with Moses, Deuteronomy chapter 30. And really, the teaching tonight is for leaders, not to burn out. And who in here is a leader? Everybody should raise their hand. It's just whether you're acting like what you're supposed to be or not. And all of us are a work in progress. All of us got something we got to work on, right? All of us. Are you leading today? Deuteronomy chapter 30, page 229. So actually, we're going to read this whole chapter. Page 229, Deuteronomy 30. If an adult would read this.
And it shall come to pass when all these things shall come in upon thee, the blessing and the curse which I have set before thee, and thou shalt bring them back unto thy heart, among the nations whither Yahweh thy Elohim hath driven thee. And thou shalt return unto Yahweh thy Elohim, and shalt hearken unto his voice, according to all that I am commanding thee today, thou and thy sons, with all thy heart and with all thy soul. Then will Yahweh my Elohim bring back thy captivity, and have compassion upon thee, and return and gather thee from among all the peoples whither Yahweh thy Elohim hath scattered thee. Though thou be driven out unto the uttermost parts of the heavens, from thence will Yahweh thy Elohim gather thee, and from thence will he fetch thee. And Yahweh thy Elohim will bring thee into the land which thy fathers possessed, and thou shalt possess it. And he will do thee good, and multiply thee beyond thy fathers. And Yahweh thy Elohim will circumcise thy heart and the heart of thy seed to love Yahweh thy Elohim with all thy heart and with all thy soul, and with that thou mayest live. And Yahweh thy Elohim will put all these oaths upon thine enemies and upon them who hated thee, who persecuted thee. But thou wilt return and hearken unto the voice of Yahweh, and wilt do all his commandments which I am commanding thee today. Somebody else?
And Yahweh thy Elohim will make thee a preeminent in every work of thy hand, in the fruit of the body, and in the fruit of thy cattle, and in the fruit of the ground for good. For Yahweh will again rejoice over thee for good, as he rejoiced over thy fathers, if thou hearken unto the voice of Yahweh thy Elohim, to keep his commandments and his statutes which are written in the scroll of the law, that if thou will return unto Yahweh thy Elohim with all thy heart and with all thy soul. Nephesh, and for as touching this commandment which I am commanding thee today, it is not too wonderful for thee, neither is it too far off. It is not in the heavens that thou shouldest say, who shall ascend for us into the heavens, that he may fetch it for us, that we may hear it and do it. Neither is it over the sea that thou shouldest say, who will pass over for us to the other side of the sea, that they may fetch it for us, that we may hear it and do it. But near unto thee is the word, exceedingly in the mouth, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. See, I have set before thee this day, I have set before thee today life and prosperity and death and calamity, for thou must keep the commandments of Yahweh the Elohim, which I am commanding thee today, to love Yahweh the Elohim, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his regulations. So shalt thou live and multiply, and Yahweh thy Elohim will bless thee in the land which thou art entering into possess. But if thou heart shall turn away, and thou wilt not hearken, but shalt be drawn away, and shalt bow thyself down to other gods and serve them, I declare unto you this today, that ye shall perish. Ye shall not prolong your days upon the soil which thou art passing over the Jordan to enter and possess. I call to witness against you today the heavens and the earth, that life and death have I set before thee, the blessing and the curse. Therefore shouldest thou choose life, that thou mayest live, that thou and thy seed, to love Yahweh thy Elohim, to hearken unto his voice, and to cleave unto him, for he is thy life, and the length of thy days, that thou mayest abide upon the soil which Yahweh sware to thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, and to forgive them.
Thank you, guys.
Or to give unto them, sorry.
So here's Moses, and this is the end of, towards the end of his 40 years. What a resume, Moses. Moses worked his tail off. Think about the earth swallowing people. Him telling the Levites to go slaughter the wicked people after the 40-day calling out Mount Sinai. Think about the wars he'd went through with Moses over and over and over again. And here's Yahweh was raising. Moses goes, I'm an 80-year-old man. And Yahweh goes, just go this way. And Yahweh's going to teach Moses some lessons here. I'm gonna set a trap for Pharaoh. Really? Are you having fun? You're gonna set a trap? Let's just get this thing over. No, go this way, and then Pharaoh's gonna think he's gotcha. And then Moses goes, I'm 80 years old. They don't want to set a trap. And then Yahweh teaches them, why are you crying out to me? You split it. And here Yahweh's mentoring Moses. Up, up, up. And here's Moses, and there's a couple times Moses goes, just kill me. Just kill me. It's not... I can't do it. Another point, he goes, did I have all these kids?
Look at all these people complaining. I'm to deal with all this and all these other things. But Moses kept up the fight, right? And sustained. And at the end of this, here's this thing. He goes, look, death and life are framed, which is, he says, it says life and prosperity, death and calamity. You choose. Right? You want death and calamity? That's disobedience. Now, it doesn't look like death and calamity. It looks like fun and exciting. It's the lust of the flesh. 2 John 2:15. Be not loving the world, nor the things that are in this world. For all that is in the world, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the vain grandeur of life. So that's the lust of the flesh. And if you do what Yahweh says, guess what's going to happen? You'll have a great life. Big warning. Could they trust Moses? You think Moses has finally got them groomed up, right? Right? Okay, all right. And so here it is. Here's the law. This is not new. It's the same thing. Obey the word. Obey, obey, obey. And he set this before him. And then the next part, you read the Moses prepares to depart. Commends Yehoshua, writes and gives in charge the law, prepares and teaches the witnessing psalm. Okay, here this whole thing is. Some adults would read for me. We're going to read 31 through about 17. 1 through 17.
Israel, why don't you?
Moses went up and spake these words unto all Israel, and said unto them, 120 years old am I today. I can no more go out and come in. Yahweh indeed hath said unto me, thou shalt not pass over this Jordan. Yahweh the Elohim is passing over before thee. He will destroy these nations from before thee. So shalt thou dispossess them. Yahushua is passing over before thee, as Yahweh has spoken. So will Yahweh do unto them as he did unto Sihon, and unto Og, king of the Amorites, and unto the land of them whom he destroyed. So will Yahweh deliver them up before you, and ye shall do unto them according to all the commandments which I have commanded you. Be firm and bold, and do not fear nor tremble because of them. For Yahweh thy Elohim is who is going with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee.
You know how scary this would be? Moses, you're not going. Elijah, what if your dad says, you and Esther are going to go hunting without me? Elk hunting. What? No, you're used to following him, right? Okay, it's fun, but he takes the responsibilities. You don't have to worry, right? No, you're going next. You and Esther. Elk hunting. You know, wait a minute. Whoa. No, we want Moses. Moses has been raising the whole time, the Joshua generation, but as his own children for 40 years. The shoes hadn't worn out. The man is there. They're learning the Sabbath. They're learning these things. Obedience. Yahweh's number one, just like his teaching. And now all of a sudden, Moses isn't going. Is that a stretching? Is that a comfort? And here Moses goes, I'm 120 years old. I'm 120. And here Yahweh's been stretching Moses for 40 years. And so you can see this and go, be firm and bold. And that's how Yehoshua, look at Joshua starts. Joshua, be firm and bold, he tells them. And then they respond to him, be firm and bold to Joshua. That's the beginning of Joshua. But here we are. And here's Moses, okay. Somebody start reading verse 7. Thank you.
And Moses called for Yehoshua and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, be firm and bold, for thou shalt go with this people unto the land which Yahweh sware unto your fathers to give unto them, and thou shalt so cause them to inherit it. But Yahweh it is who is going before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Thou must not fear nor be dismayed. You said through 9, and yeah. Moses wrote this law and delivered unto the priests and the sons of Levi, who were bearing the ark of the covenant of Yahweh, and unto all the elders of Israel.
And so, isn't he? Here's Moses. Think of Moses. If Moses is a father to Yahushua, I don't know a whole lot about Moses' two sons or his wife, but we do know Yahushua was there. Who is my brother? Who is my sister? My mother? Mark 3:35. Those who do Yahweh's will, that's my family. Right? Here's Moses. Here he is, and here's a father going, Yahweh's your sufficiency, not Moses. Yahweh's your sufficiency, not Moses. And it says over here, be firm and bold. Yahweh, that God is he that's going for you. Then Moses also says, who killed Og? Yahweh killed Og. It's not Moses. Okay? Then Yahweh's going to do this, and how is it Moses saying these things? Who's telling him to say it? So yeah, Moses is prophesying that Yahweh's going to take care of you. Okay. Okay. You think that'd be a little bit scary? What if Mama and Granddad said, "We have to leave for a couple of years, Mel. Keep the house going. Keep studying. Do you have Christ in you?" Okay. Yeah, it's a little bit scary, right? You can do all things. You're okay, but this could be a scary thing. We could all kind of vent a little bit. Oh, but here's Moses. And now verse 10, Moses commanded them, saying, "At the end of 7 years, in the appointed season of the year of release, during the festival of booths, when all Israel cometh to see the face of Yahweh, thy Elohim, in the place which ye shall choose, thou shalt read this law before all Israel in the hearing." And here's, this is Moses' retirement party. 120 years this guy's been serving. Man. And he wasn't worn out. Deuteronomy 34:7. Moses is fresh as not fed, nor his eye had dimmed. But Brian had a really long beard, though. Even as I was quoting, that's one of my scriptures. I start up in the morning. Deuteronomy 34:7. Moses, fresh as not fed, nor his eye dimmed. And that's why I'm climbing these days. I bet you Israelites are like, really? That's Moses? Because did Moses have a mansion?
No.
Not as far as we know. How would you know who he was? I bet you he's a guy out there working his butt off, chopping wood or something like that. But he's just kind of like, wow, who is this guy? Probably had a big beard is all I can think of. What verse did I stop at?
12.
Call together the people, the men and women, and the little ones and the sojourners who is written in thy gates, that they may hear and that they may learn to show. So shall they revere Yahweh your Elohim and observe to do all the words of the law. And that their children who know not may hear and learn, that they may revere Yahweh your Elohim all the days that ye are living upon the soil which ye are passing over into Jordan and to possess. Moses' retirement party going, look. And the warning of Deuteronomy 28 and in here. There's a curse. That which you sow you will reap. You'll go back into captivity if you rebel. Moses goes, Yahweh is your sufficiency, not me. Do the word or you will be a slave again. And here, that was Deuteronomy 30. Here's Deuteronomy 28. Here's the promises, the blessings, and the cursings. Is Moses farewell? Do you think that this was kind of an emotional time? Are you kidding me? Especially between Joshua and Caleb. Going to go, really? You're not going to go with us? But you're great. You're in good shape. I just saw you doing pull-ups. He said, I'm not supposed to go. You sure about that? No, I'm not supposed to go. Now here's the next part. This would be the dissidence. You guys know what dissidence is? It's a new word for me. In a song or in music, it's a perfect story. Let's think about storytelling. You guys just tell me what's a good story. There's a guy that was born to a good mom and dad. He had a healthy life. He never had any problems. He got a job. He got a wife, kids, children. Never had any fights. And that's the end of the story. Is that a good story? Or there's an 8-year-old boy who's living in his house all by himself with no parents. And when he crawled out of his hole in the field that he stole from a badger 1 year, he looked up and he went out to go get honey that day. What is this? A boy living in a hole, a badger, no parents? What is that? Is that a good story? That's a good story. We can look at stories, and dissidence is going to be, something's not right. How are you going to bring that back? Because even as I made up that story, you're going to say, there's a lot of missing pieces here. Where is his parents? Why does he live in a hole? Right? It doesn't make sense. We can look at teachings or even songs. I remember I was trying to write some songs, and my dad goes, you really need a chord or something there. It's too repetitive. It's over and over and over again. Now, Canon in D major is one of the few songs that can go over and over and over again. Otherwise, it's really boring. We can understand it, right? But when they pointed at us, we're like, whoa, wait a minute, I like boring. I don't want anything going up and down and stuff like that, but we do. But it's a thing right here. So here's Moses. Is somebody's phone going off? Is that noise? Sorry, it's distracting. I think your phone went off. But anyways, here's Moses saying their goodbyes. Now verse 14. Now who's speaking?
Yahweh. Yeah.
Then said Yahweh unto Moses. These are his children. Millions and millions.
learning the Yahweh's it. It's not me. It's Yahweh. Yehoshua's ready. You guys are going to be fine. Trust me. You guys are going to be fine. I raised you up. We called out the wicked ones, right? You guys remember when the earth swallowed it? Yahweh swallowed them. Remember this? Remember Og? Remember these things? And they were okay. Here, Moses. Okay. Now Yahweh goes, Moses, let's go have a talk. Lo, the days have drawn near that thou must die. Call Yehoshua and station yourself in the tent of meetings, that I may command him. Now, I like to think, whenever Yahweh, trying to speak in absolutes, but a lot of times when Yahweh went to go talk to somebody, he said, remove your shoes. It's clean white carpet. Just clean the carpet! Take shoes off. And so I like to think when they went into the tent of meetings, that Moses probably removed his feet, and then how would he meet Yahweh? I removed his shoes, not his sandals, so I removed his feet. But I believe he would have been like this. Waiting on Yahweh. Here you go. We know about the cherubims with the Ark of the Covenant. Their faces were cut. You couldn't even look at them. And to me, when I go pray and stuff, I don't like saying this because sometimes I'm guilty of it. But if I don't circumcise my heart, if Yahweh walked into the room and you Jesus Christ, I'm like, hey, how you doing, man? Fist bump. No, man, I would have fallen down on my face. But here's the tent of meetings. I believe Moses and Yehoshua are going to go to the tent of meetings and try to use your imagination. How is Aaron, Yehoshua and Moses, how are they going to be in the tent of meeting?
On their face.
Dude, this is the end of his retirement. Is this going to be an important meeting?
Yeah.
Joshua, you're the guy. Really? Really? Oh, man. I don't know if I'm ready for this. You're probably not. Really? Yeah, of course not. You're going to have to produce faith. You're going to have to lean on Yahweh even more. I can't do this. Of course you can't do it. He's not asking you to do something you can do. He's asking you to do something you can only do with him. Okay, Moses. All right. You ready for this meeting? All right, let's go in there. Come on. They go into the tent of meetings. They get down. Here's Moses. About ready to go to sleep, right? So Moses... So call Yehoshua, station yourselves in the tent of meetings that I may command him. You can imagine sitting in that tent, waiting. What's Yahweh going to say? So Moses went with Yehoshua, and they took their station in the tent of meeting. And Yahweh appeared in the tent in a pillar of cloud, and the pillar of the cloud stood at the entrance of the tent. Then Yahweh said unto Moses, Lo, thou art about to sleep with thy fathers, and this people... will never mess up again. You've raised them right, and they'll never rebel. They'll never go back to foreign gods, and they'll cling to me forever. You've done a great job, Moses.
Nope.
What does he tell Moses at the farewell? What's he say, Isaac? Elijah, why don't you read that?
And this people will rise up and go away unchastely after gods their own of the foreigners of the land. And
do you think Moses' skin started crawling?
Yeah.
You're gonna sleep. Good job. These people are about ready to rebel after other gods. He's going. Can you imagine them going? What are you talking about? After all we've done, and you can imagine Joshua's going. What's going? What do you mean they're gonna rebel? He just got done saying Deuteronomy 30. They know all about this. And what is Yahweh saying in this meeting? They're gonna rise up. After other gods and foreigners of the land, into a midst whom they are entering, and they're going to forsake me and break my covenant, which I have solemnized with them, then my anger kindle upon them in that day, and I will forsake them, and I will hide my face from them, and they shall be consumed. And my many calamities and misfortunes shall find them out. And they will say in that day, is it not because my Elohim is not in my midst that these calamities have found me? But I will utterly hide my face in that day because of the wickedness which they have done and that they have turned away to other gods. If I was Moses, I'd be like, why are you telling me this? I don't want to know what's going to happen. Because you can imagine things are going pretty good, right? What does Yahweh tell them? Oh yeah, they're gonna throw parties, do all kinds of garbage. And the neat thing when it says down here, verse 18, and I'll utterly hide my face in that day. E.W. Bollinger says, why is Yahweh's name not in the Book of Esther? And then you could also say that about other Bibles in the captivity, Daniel, when they're being carried away. And he goes, because Yahweh says he will hide his face when they're in rebellion. The United States, what is our God?
Government.
Going to say, well, why don't we even know who Yahweh is? Are you kidding me? Look how wicked some of this stuff is. And we got so much stuff. We got children sacrifices to Balaam or whatever, Baal, and all these other different things, enslaving people and over, all kinds of slaveries and stuff. But here's the whole thing. But the point of it is, after he tells Moses this, and he's going to tell it down, Moses, I want you to write a song and go sing it. I don't feel like I'm bummed out. After all I did, you guys ever see it with the kids? Or with the fellowship, and somebody's been going so good, then all of a sudden you just, are you going to burn out? Are you going to burn out? Am I going to burn out? I'm going to go, okay. And so it could be very distressing. No, we're going to go to Joshua chapter 24. So Joshua's going to take over. And at the end of Joshua's ministry, we look at the way ministry and stuff like that. We look back and go, what happened? They never advanced the ball for 30 years. Where are you guys? Come on! Or we see Tommy Crabb go out this way, or a believer go that way, or back to their own vomit, or these other things are going. And I guess I'm mainly speaking about myself. I'm shocked. But then when I look at the leaders in the Word, what happens to them? I shouldn't be shocked. If I'm getting shocked when people depart and do these things over and over, now it should bother me, and I should be a little bit shocked, but I should be like, wait a minute. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the vain grandeur of life, the cares of this world. Okay, it's when I let it cause anxiety in my life that I know that I'm going to burn out. Because I think all of us can say, be anxious for what?
No. Nothing.
Nothing. But I think all of us have a department that we choose. We could be anxious over that. Because if people say this, don't worry, you always got that. And then somebody says this other one, oh, what about that? Then they go right over here, what about the Democratic Party? Oh, those Democrats! And I'm going to go, no, for nothing. There shouldn't be anything. And it's not easy, but all of us should go and say, what do I have that causes anxiety? But when we look, we go, what's the next generation going to do? What are my children going to do? These things, we should go back and go, hey, how did Moses do it? Because I don't know how Moses would have slept that night. All right, now we go to the end of Joshua, chapter 4, verse 14.
Chapter 4?
Chapter 24, verse 14, page 257. And so I don't know how we're not going to burn out. I think that's up to each one of us. I always wanted to be just like my dad. My whole idea, like my mom and my dad, my idea of success was, I get to be 19, I'll meet a girl, get married, we're going to have 6 kids. And I'll have a job, I'll come home, and I'll be their hero. And I'll have my kids, and we'll play. That was my whole thing. And it didn't work out that way. And then even with work, I wanted to be just like my dad. I wanted to do what my dad did, and it didn't work. And what Yahweh was working through me is, so you can go this direction. I was called the same direction as my father, but Yahweh goes, I want to be your sufficiency. I want to be your sufficiency. And I guess in Joshua chapter 24, verse 14. Here's the end of Yehoshua's ministry. Okay? Boy, I think about Yehoshua, and I think about Solomon. What's Solomon mean?
Raphael.
That's Jedediah. Solomon means peace. Right? Mm-hmm. Hey, I get to be the king of peace? All right. How did his ministry start?
Peaceful.
Go kill your brother. What? Kill my brother? Here's Joab. I'm going, wait a minute, Dad. I'm Yahweh. Hey, you forgot my name, man. Well, how did he have to start? He had to produce a lot of faith. He had to earn it. He had to earn something there. And then here's Joshua. Here he goes. And then it wasn't until they get to Jericho. Here's Achan. That quickly. And then here's the end of Joshua. Maybe they're in line now at the end. He said, that's for me and my house will serve Yahweh, right? And I love this. Man, where could I get to meet Yehoshua someday? Verse 14. Now therefore revere ye Yahweh and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the Elohims which your fathers served beyond the river and Egypt, and serve ye Yahweh. But if it be a vexation in your eyes to serve Yahweh, choose ye yourself today whom you will serve, whether the Elohims which your fathers served that beyond the rivers of the gods, the Amorites, in whose land ye are dwelling. But I and my house will serve Yahweh. Then the people respond and says, far be it for us, we'll serve Yahweh. They go, oh, we'll serve Yahweh. What does he respond in verse 19? How about a kid read that? Verse 19. What is his response to them? They go, we will serve Yahweh. What does he say in verse 19?
Then said Joshua unto the people, you cannot serve Yahweh, for a holy
Elohim, he is a jealous Elohim, he is. He will not forgive your transgression nor your sins.
Because you can't serve Yahweh. What? This is his farewell. And he gets right in their face and he grills them. You cannot serve him. Well, how does he even know I have gods? I go, hey, you know what? You got phones, you got internet, you have pornography, you have the lust of the flesh. It's right there. It'd go, you have to look it right in the face. And I was reading on the parallel Bible, and they believe that Yahweh, through Joshua, was looking right through the people, into the, and here's people in their tents, and nobody knows what I'm doing. And it could have been whatever it was, lust of the eyes, coveting, lust of the flesh, whatever this stuff was. And you could see they already had it. How long, well, here's Izzy's children, how long are they going to have to wrestle with the lust of the flesh?
All their lives.
Yeah, it doesn't go away. You get the, and so the idea is, even there, it says Joshua knew that they're going to have a fight. You have to take it to them. But even at the end of Joshua, verse 9, they go, verse 21, nay, but Yahweh, we will serve. And they go, okay. In verse 21, he goes, now therefore put away your gods. And here Yahweh's looking right in their face, and that's the end. Going to go, man. But you could, here's Joshua as he's wrapping up his ministry, gonna go, and here's Yahweh speaking through him. He goes, you gotta be kidding me. They got gods? After all the work I did. Let's see here. I like to think of, at the end of Moses' ministry, I was reading Deuteronomy 30, going to go, God, I would feel like a failure. That as soon as I die, it's gone, it's over. It'd be like, as soon as Kenneth Copeland dies, it's over. Or Victor Pohl Werewolf or Alexander Dowie, everybody's scattered. And I'll look at ministries like that sometimes. It looks like a failure. Well, that's kind of like what was told to Moses. Yeah. Not exactly. But as soon as you're gone, here's what's going to happen. If I was Moses going, why would you even tell me that? I don't want to know that. But Yahweh did tell him. And he's telling us too. And I can imagine, here's Moses in the tent. Now, who produced more faith than anyone in this room? It would be Moses. And here's Moses in the tent, and Yahweh speaking. And he said, as soon as you die, they're going to rebel. What? What do you think was racing through his mind? And what? Now, Moses didn't have the book of Philippians, but we do. And as soon as we get some new information or something, as soon as Moses started worrying about tomorrow, what could he have said? He could have said Philippians 4:6. What's that say?
Be not anxious.
Be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. Even in the tent of meetings, Yahweh was making Moses produce faith. For nothing, be anxious. For nothing, Moses. Here's Moses going to... Now, he didn't have the scriptures, but we do. Now, sometimes Yahweh's going to give us information, and you're going to want to become anxious. It's going to say, worry not for tomorrow shall worry for itself. Sufficient for the day is the
evil
thereof. It's evil. Yahweh takes care of today. You take care of your job today. He takes care of tomorrow. So how do we not burn out today, each day, is we can be looking 2 or 3 years in the future. We'll burn out. I hope that's not the case. It's just you got to have a good plan. Let me see here. Deuteronomy 31 verse... Let me see here. 31 verse 8. 31 verse 8. You guys there? I can imagine both... I'll let you turn now. I can imagine... Moses hears that they're going to rebel as soon as he goes to sleep. They're going to do this, they're going to be carried off captivity, all kinds of stuff. And I would think if I was Moses, I can't retire. I can't retire. No. Is he worn out?
Yeah.
No. His eyesight not dim, his freshness is not fled. But he's tired. He wants to retire. So and Yahweh goes, as soon as you go to sleep, the sheep are going to be scattered. And if it was me, you know what I would want to do? I can't retire. I can't. At least this is me. And what would happen is the words from Deuteronomy 31 verse 8. I'm not there, but would somebody read that?
I will.
Okay. Because these came out of Moses' mouth. Have you ever given a prophecy or read a scripture to somebody, and then later on you're freaking out, and all of a sudden Yahweh goes, you just said this. I did.
What's it say? 31 verse 8.
But Yahweh it is who is going before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail.
And who says this? Moses says Yahweh's the one that did this. Not Moses. Yahweh did this. But if I was Moses, I would not want to retire and I would not want to die. Because as soon as I die, I retire, it's all going to fall apart. That's me. And if that was the case, then Yahweh would say, Moses, didn't you just tell them that I got this? You're not the one holding this whole thing together necessarily anyways. You just told them it was me. And we look at that, and we turn to Deuteronomy chapter 17. And we go back and we look at whether a wife departs, whether kids depart, whether our nation turns completely rotten, we gotta leave. We're gonna say, what is our success? What is success? Each day, what is success? It's obedience. It's keeping Yahweh first. It's Eli's teaching. Number one. It's number one. If we're focused on Him, we're focused on Him and His Word, then everything else will take care of itself. Deuteronomy chapter 17, verse 14, page 217. And so here's Yahweh's gonna tell Moses about kings. When you're going to have a king, it needs stuff here, because when thou shalt enter into the land which Yahweh the Elohim is giving unto thee, and shalt possess it and dwell therein, and shalt say, I'll set over me a king like unto the nations that are round about me. Then it's going through all this stuff. It's going to say that Yahweh will choose who's going to be the king. Then it's going to go through some other different things. Don't multiply horses, don't multiply wives. But verse 18, this is the important one. Would somebody read that for me? 18 and 19.
I will. But it shall be, when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom, then shall he write for himself a copy of this law upon a scroll out of that which is before the priest the Levite. So shall it be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to revere Yahweh his Elohim, to observe all the words of his law and the statute to do with it.
Okay, who here thinks Donald Trump's busy?
We know. We don't.
Do you think he has much free time?
No.
Do you have free time?
Yes.
Most of us, I mean, no. I don't have any free time. But then you compare it to Donald Trump, yeah, I got free time compared to that guy. Do you think King David was less busy than Donald Trump? I don't know, but if there was a busy guy, it would have been King David. King David, when they touched the Ark of the Covenant, Uzzah touched it and he died. Why did he die? Because the word says nobody touch it, lest ye die. It also says you should not put it on a cart. Not only was David wrong, but so was Uzzah, and all of Israel's guilty. You hadn't read the word. Well, why do we?
The king was supposed.
Why didn't they know the word? Well, their parents didn't teach them. We didn't know that churches were supposed to be the ones doing divorce. We didn't know that. It makes a lot of sense, though. That's the 1 Corinthians 6. Going to go, wow, we didn't know either. But what do you do with it? But it also says that after that would have happened, King David, we believe that he would have went back and went through the scriptures. What the heck's going on? I think it was 3 months. And then he would have read. You think he's busy? I'm fighting, I'm building things, got Philistines here, I got coups here, Joab's out of control again, or Abner and this. And then he reads this, he goes, what am I supposed to do? Okay, what would he have written? He was commanded to rewrite what? The word. It was like the Tanakh. What am I supposed to be doing? Oh, in your free time, King David, you're supposed to handwrite the Bible. I have free time. Think about this. And if the Hebrews were reading this, and you read that if the king wrote the word, and he studied the word, and if he meditated on the word, guess who was going to be blessed?
His people.
His people. Children. You want a good life? Encourage mom and dad. Ask mom and dad, how much have you read today? Do you think they feel like they have any time? No, but all of us should be like, how much time have you been in the Word? I haven't been in the Word at all. And actually, when I started looking at this, I'm starting to feel compelled. I need to write the Tanakh. Well, I don't have time for that. You kidding me? You can read through the whole scripture. Why don't you rewrite it like the Roth? It's something to consider. But of course you don't have enough time. But what if a king? How are you going to run a kingdom if you're rewriting the Bible?
Scribe.
Does that make sense? No, it makes faith. Yahweh will take care of the kingdom. There's always going to be things outstanding, not going to work out. There's always going to be a big to-do list, and maybe 80% is not going to get done. What did you get done today? You kidding me? You got the Philistines. Can you imagine the first month of David trying to run a kingdom, and now you're working on his handwriting? And it also says that when he rewrites it, the guess who's supposed to be watching it? The Levites. Oh no, they're going to be checking his homework. No, that's not the right word. That's the wrong word. The wrong emphasis. You change it. Grammatical emphasis, King David. Oh my goodness, I'm in school. What would he have to do is he's going to have to focus on the word. Focus on the word and focus on the word. And then Yahweh will take care of all the rest. And so I guess where I try to put all that together is even when we look at things going to fall apart and we worry about tomorrow. You know, I think about this sometimes, that don't worry about tomorrow. Donna, do you worry about tomorrow?
All the time.
Yeah, okay. And so Yahweh got me once. I was worrying about tomorrow. I was going, what's going to happen to my son? If something happens to me, who's going to take care of him? I mean, who's going to correct him? Really? Who's going to be the bad cop? Who lives way up in Kansas City? And here I am, and I'm thinking about tomorrow, and who's going to warn him about girls? Oh, man. I'm thinking all this stuff, and after I got done, my imagination going crazy, I was kind of peaceful, my tent meeting, and it was like, yes? Aaron, do you have so much free time that you can worry about, do I not give you enough work that you can take all, I mean, am I not giving you enough stuff to worry about? Right? You're not worried, not be anxious. Haven't I given you enough? You got so much free time that you can sit back and be thinking about next year and 5 years or 6 years. Focus on your work. Aaron, today, I take care of tomorrow. I'm going, I don't know if I want any more work, man. But you got to think about that. What is your imagination doing? I'm going to go in Hebrews 12, and this is where I'll wrap it up. Hebrews 12, so how do we not burn out? How do we not run? How do we not? And so exercise is something that is that it comes very natural to me. It's my laboratory on faith, how to meditate. And if you're going to try to run or whatever, you're going to try to do anything that's exhausting, you got to control this. You have to. You know what? Elijah, Isaiah, you know how long you're going to have lust of the flesh? Do you know how long you're going to have to kill your flesh? Your old man, these thoughts, for the rest of your life. I used to think that when I'll be turned 22, 25 years old, I'm not going to worry about those things anymore because I have a family. No. You have an old man. All of us do. And whatever your weakness is probably going to have to deal with it all the time. And there's a good side to it. You can get really good at hunting it. I'm going to kill that sucker. And I'm ready for it to pop up. And I go, the love of God thinking no evil. And even when my old man, I just think there's two brains in there. I'll be my own business. La, 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 la. And all of a sudden, where did that thought come from? And then I'm like, oh, I feel so guilty. And I'm like, no, that's not my thought. The love of God thinking no evil. I grab it by its face and I throw it out the door and I slam the door. Showed him. I have nothing to do with that. You know that. There's no problem with the old man, right? It's just what you do with it. Don't entertain it. Don't even feel guilty about it. Get rid of those thoughts. But you have that the rest of your life. You have to control your thoughts. What is your weakness? Everybody's got a weakness. Is it romance? Is it whatever? Hebrews 12:1. Therefore, indeed, seeing that we also have encircling us so great a cloud of witness, stripping off every encumbrance and easily entangling sin. Are you worried about tomorrow? Are you sinning about tomorrow? Strip it off. Focus on today. With endurance, let us be running the race that is lying before us. Looking away into our face, princely leader, perfecter, Yehoshua, who in consideration of the joy lying before him, endured a cross, shame despising, and on the right hand of the throne of Elohim,
or Yahweh taking the sea. It says, it also says, run your race in a way in which to win. I think it's 2 Corinthians 9. 1 Corinthians 15, 52 says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, during the last trumpet, for it shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. When is Christ coming back?
They don't know.
Man, control your thoughts. Control your thoughts and control your thoughts. Think about this. Jesus Christ, he goes to his disciples, I'm going to be tortured worse than anybody. They're going to deliver me. Peter goes, not so, Lord. And they're having a real hard time understanding what Christ is getting ready to go through. But he goes, wait for me in Galilee. Right? Wait for me in Galilee. Did Jesus Christ know everything? Or did he have to produce faith?
He had to produce faith too,
right? So he... Can you imagine in the Garden of Gethsemane? Here's Yehoshua. Take this cup from me. And no, okay, all right, I'm ready to go. And going, Yehoshua, they're going to be scattered. They're not going to be waiting for you. They're going to be doing, what are they going to be doing? Can you imagine him thinking about tomorrow? What's going to happen to these guys? And actually, when he does come back, where are they?
Fishing.
Yeah, I love that. He goes, I told you, wait for me in Galilee. There's no banners. There's no balloons. As Mark Hankins. Hey, there's supposed to be a resurrection party. Where is everybody? He goes, I had to look everybody up. Go one by one. It was good for Yehoshua not to know that, right?
Yeah.
But when he got to it, he dealt with it. Well, you can deal with it when you get to it. Yahweh takes care of the future. And if we take care of today, are you going to burn out? And I think that's something we should all do. Just say, what is your plan?
We don't want to burn out.
No, we don't want it. And then we're going to look at things and go, well, then who's going to take care of them? Yahweh. Okay. Thank you, Father, for these tonight. We'll take for the teaching and for these words. Don't be anxious for tomorrow, and don't let anything burn you out. I don't burn out. And I put things on you, easy burdens that look very difficult, but they produce faith. But there is joy, there is peace with me. And together we can live this life in great harmony, where we can have joy, overflowing, exalting, wonderful moments, even in the midst of the storm. Take care of the things that I put on your desk. Control your thoughts. And when your thoughts go about tomorrow or other unprofitable things and your peace goes down, repent and come back into my word. Focus on my word, and it will bring balance right back, and you will sustain. And when my son comes back for you, you'll be thankful how you spent the last hours of this life.
Amen.